Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hey, 5 Tribe. This episode is all about that bad moment after you say something you wish you hadn't, or you hear something that kind of sets you off, and you start to spiral, and you're going down, and you're going down, and you're going down, and then what? We're going to cover spiraling and what to do when you start it. I am Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing great. I am not spiraling in the present moment, so all is well. How about you?
I am not swirly, so I am also not spiraling. Lane right now, and that's always
excellent.
A good thing. So we're in a good space to start the show. Let's see if we can keep it going through the whole thing where we don't spiral for a whole 20 minutes.
Yeah.
This is a hard one, right? I think we all kind of have, I mean, our anxiety is so much higher as a society right now. So I feel like spiraling is just way more common.
Yeah, it's not even the stress. It's just like the complete overwhelm. And it's how we make one mistake or one bad moment in a day basically mean we're the worst. Like spiraling, what I would describe it to be is when something happens, a negative experience or interaction, and suddenly you make it about your entire self and your entire life. Like you're just like, everything's unraveling.
Yeah, it's not a great place to be. I think it's something that most humans go through more often than we kind of would like. And, you know, you get through those things where you're analyzing everything that you said, you're questioning tone, you're wondering if, you know, you're hyper aware of what everybody else might be thinking about you. And then comes the doom. And that's the worst part. So you get to that part where you're like, okay, I'm so tense, everything's going bad. And then it's like you settle down in this doom trap and all you're doing is just doubting yourself endlessly. And, you know, it's a challenge. But fun part of this, if they call it fun, is that it's a normal thing that happens to us. And it's really not weakness. It's a form of protection.
I mean, your nervous system, when you're spiraling, it's like it's searching for safety. Your brain is trying to predict the next threat. You're like, but what if this happens? And what if this happens? Like, I think of the kids in school and like when they're stressed and like, and I have this homework and I have this homework. And then like, if I don't do this, I'm going to do bad on my test. I'm going to do bad on my test. And I'm like, not going to get into college. And it's like, hey, it's going to be all right. Like, it's when your brain is like, and then what happens? Because it's searching. It's like, when's it going to be safe? And it can't find it. So it's like, my whole life is doomed now because of this one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember as like kids, I would have those thoughts too. It's like, what happens if my pencil breaks and the teacher said we're not allowed to sharpen our pencils during the test and then I'm not going to get a good. And you do that. And as I'm saying it right now, I'm getting tense.
Yeah.
Like my body is physically tightening up. And I noticed our cadence too is just like, it's leveled up as we been talking about. We need to take a breath. But I think that's just it. It's like you're not crazy. You're activated. And when you're activated, you go into hyperarousal and you're scanning for threats. Your brain is going like, must be a tiger around here. Let's look for everything that could possibly go wrong. And we need to get out of that.
Yeah. And so while people are calmly listening to this and we have a moment to be self-aware, here is what happens. When people say they're triggered, this is what they're talking about. A trigger is an event, a triggering event. It activates some part of your nervous system that leads you to experience emotional discomfort. Once you are inside of emotional discomfort, you go like mental replaying, you know, you start to get swirly, then you start catastrophizing, then you start to doubt your entire identity, which then leads to more anxiety. And so as you build self-awareness, you start to understand what your triggers are. We all have different triggers that are usually linked to something happening or some bad experience or something that reminds our body of what it felt like, and that's what sets off the activation.
Yeah, it's exactly it. So when we talk about triggers, it's really important that you start to understand the triggers that make you spiral. And those things that make you spiral are going to be different probably than those things that maybe anger you. We're talking more about like these, you know, the catastrophizing that you had said and just identity doubt and all that stuff. So when you know there are triggers, your first step is this awareness that we always talk about. So for now, to start to think, like, what triggers a spiral? And I will say the thing that, like, triggers most people's spirals, and it's maybe not even the triggers, like the precursor to it, will be a bad night's sleep, right? If you don't have the right food, you don't have the good night's sleep, your faculties are starting at maybe 50% if you're lucky, and everything can trigger you a little bit faster, which means doom and gloom can kick in way quicker than anything else.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example of something that happened recently that triggered me and made me get swirly. And I was totally aware of it, but Andrew wasn't. And I had to remind him, and then we course corrected. So over a decade ago, I had a very scary near drowning experience. I was hiking and there was a flash flood and I got sucked into the water and it took a lot of people to get me out. Up until then, I had been very comfortable with water, happy to go swimming, happy to grow up, you know, going to beach vacations. But ever since then, I have a lot of anxiety around water, rightfully so. So Andrew took me on like a scenic drive recently, and he was like, I'm just going to go and like, we're going to drive along the river. But the roads were covered in ice. We're in Canada. And I just kind of put my hand on his arm and I said, could you please slow down? Like, because I was triggered by the ice and the snow and the water, and it activated the fear inside of my body that remembered almost drowning. And so in my mind, in a split second, I'm like, we're going to careen off of this and my children will be motherless and who's going to take care of them and all these things in my brain. That's the spiral. And that's the anxiety, and all of that happens inside of my body. And Andrew's like, oh my gosh, I know that. I should know that. I was trying to show you how beautiful the river looked when it just has a little bit of ice on it. And I'm like, we're going to die, you know? But that explains like an anxiety spiral with a valid trigger. But if you know your triggers and you know ahead of time and you can verbalize it, I could have easily gone into a panic and been mean to Andrew and been like, slow the car down, and, you know, taken it out on him. But I just like quietly was like, could we lower the miles per hour or kilometers per hour as it is in Canada? And it was fine. And we're both here.
Yeah, we survived the drive with minimal impact on everything. And it's such a great, that's a great example. I was clueless in that moment. I don't have that trigger. It's a beautiful drive. And I'm so grateful that you did it like that and that you had that awareness, because when you don't have that awareness, it usually comes across as like, you know, not you, but in general, it's like, you know, the person's frozen, they're rigid. You're like, you can sense the tension and you don't know because they're not aware that they're spiraling. They're just like, I feel uncomfortable and I don't want to share this because of what happens if I share it, they're going to think this or that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that the explaining everything was very good. And we won't be doing that drive again in the winter. Just as a common courtesy. So let's kind of connect this to all the stuff we've been doing in the last few episodes about growth and, you know, creating the best version of yourself and moving towards that person. When you start to change, you're going to be looking for approval from your friends. And we talked about this last episode. Not everybody is going to be thrilled with your changing. And when you don't get that recognition, you are going to feel more vulnerable because this new self isn't quite established yet. And you want to get that validation from other people. Ideally, you're doing internal validation, but it doesn't always work like that. So as you kind of expose your new self to, you know, your friends around you, you're going to feel more vulnerable. And every time you do that, you're going to want to go back to this person that you used to be. And it can cause spiraling. It can cause, like, are they wondering why I'm not doing this thing, or I'm not partaking in this event, or I'm not, you know, eating their food and having the same drinks, whatever the thing is that you're changing away from. And that can make you spiral. Honestly, the person sitting next to you might just be like, this is a great show we're watching together. What a nice night. And you're like going through everything going, wow, okay, so they haven't said anything in 3 minutes. So they clearly have noticed that I am wearing blue socks from now on. And they have taken issue with my blue socks. And my goodness, I don't know if I can go back to being a white sock person anymore. I just really like the blue socks. But if they're going to hate me for these blue socks, maybe I should change. I'm being a little bit silly here, but that is like just such an internal spiral that we all have when we start to change, because it's new and new feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think it's good to build that awareness, because anytime we discuss self-improvement, anytime anyone listening might be talking about personal development, you know, reading more, running more, whatever, eating healthier, paying off debt, anything like that, it sounds like it's going to be this like great, happy journey full of motivation with admirers everywhere cheering you on and wanting to be like you. But what it really does is when you grow, it increases your exposure, and exposure increases vulnerability. And it almost puts like a target on you, because your growth reminds other people that they are not growing. And so your brain, rather than, you know, jumping and cheering into the next level, is going to always be checking for danger. It's going to be hypervigilant. It's going to get hurt when people are maybe not supporting you that you thought would. And so that is kind of like what happens. But if you can expect that and anticipate that, like, I'm going to go on this journey and it's worth it to me no matter what, and sometimes people won't agree with it or understand it, and that's okay, then you kind of like know what might happen as you go into it.
Yeah. When you're starting to become someone new, your brain is always going to be checking for danger. And that feeling of belonging is just so primal. And so this is all really, really normal. We want to really normalize this for you, because I think when you start to grow into this person, it's, you know, it's all sunshine and rainbows until you step out into the world to go do it. And then it's a little bit different. You're going to find that the spiraling shows up most often when you're setting a boundary, or when you say no to someone, even if you show confidence. Like if you're like, no, I am who I am. And you might have somebody that kind of stands up to you and goes, you sure about that? And that's when you're going to like, you know, shudder and go like, well, maybe not. But it's normal. Just expect it. And again, when you can expect this kind of thing to come up when you're growing, when you're going on your personal growth journey, you can deal with it in a much easier way than getting hit on the side of the head with it suddenly and not expecting it. So just prepare for it. Know that this is part of the journey. You're going to have a spiral. You know that it's because you're growing. It's because you're leaving that old self behind, and this new self is not quite as firm as you would like it to be yet.
Yeah. I mean, just because you have a bad swirly moment doesn't mean that you're not growing. In fact, it's evidence that you are trying something unfamiliar and new. And just remember that your brain doesn't know the difference between rejection and growth. So part of the growth journey is you're going to have some spirally days, and that's all right.
Exactly. All right. So let's talk about how you can kind of help yourself as you're going through this. So the technical term for this would be hyperarousal, and that's when you get kind of out of your calm state. That is when you start, you know, you have emotional reactivity, defensiveness, racing thoughts. These are common things that are happening. Your brain is looking for the tiger. It's looking for the threat. And when you understand that, then you can start taking action. So that's the first thing, just to have that awareness. Once you're aware of it, we want you to interrupt the loop physically. So in my example of the blue socks on the couch, if I noticed that, I would probably just get up, walk around, maybe, you know, excuse myself to go to the bathroom or go outside, just kind of get some movement in me. Maybe it's cold water is a really good one on like your wrists if you're, you know, somewhere else. If not, if you can put an ice pack on the back of your neck, that really, really helps. And then the next thing we want you to do is just to do longer inhales and longer exhales. Your breathing will naturally shorten when you are in this state, because it thinks that you are being threatened, and it's telling you this is not the time to relax. This is the time to get ready to run away from whatever threat might come up. So you can do box breathing or just the double sip where you take a long breath in through your nose, then an extra little sip after that, and then an extra long exhale. Always try to let your exhales be longer than your inhales. That signals your nervous system that you are safe, because we don't breathe like that when we feel threatened. So again, coming back to your breath is key. Then the next thing I want you to do is just name it and just say, this is a spiral. And by labeling it, you reduce the intensity. And this works for across all things. But for right now, when you can just go, oh, I'm spiraling right now. And if you can kind of see yourself like maybe at the top of like this giant slide that like goes around and around and around and down, like you see on the kids' playground, and you can look at it and go, yeah, I'm not doing that. You change the narrative that your brain has always done. And this will take a little bit of time, but those three steps, changing your physical location, getting up, slowing your breathing, and naming it, these three things can shift the spiral. It can stop it completely just by calming down the body.
Are you feeling stuck in your life right now, kind of not sure where to go or what your next steps are? We've created a coaching program for you to help you discover your path, and we call it 5 weeks to Future You. What you'll get is 2-to-1 coaching with Catherine and I over 5 weeks while we help you figure out what the next steps are in your life. We offer a complimentary call. You just have to go to 5yearyou.com to check it out and set up your call with us to see if we're a good fit. I know from my own experience that it is incredibly hard to do this on your own, and that's why we're offering these coaching calls. We're only going to work with 5 people at a time to make sure that we can give you the attention that you truly deserve. So head on over to 5yearyou.com to get started.
I really like that. I think what it's showing is that it's very hard to think yourself out of a spiral because your body is so activated and stressed. You don't stop a spiral by thinking about stopping. You have to really calm your body. Like Andrew said, move to another room, cold water on wrists or the back of the neck. That is really what is going to help. Just like in my example with the car by the river, putting my hand on Andrew, asking if we could slow the car down. If I wouldn't have said anything, my anxiety would have gotten a lot worse, right? So we changed the physicality of what we were doing, and that made all the difference. And naming it and explaining it also took its power away. And him reminding me, you know, we're safe and that he has a lot of experience driving in ice and snow and all these different things, you know, helped to calm me down and prevent a really bad spiral. So all of these things really, really help. And I know it's hard to remember it when you're in the moment, but hopefully you can tuck this away for the future.
Yeah, I think it's important to separate the facts from the fear. So after you kind of got into your body and you feel a little bit better, now it's time for you to bring in rational thinking. And when you do that, you just can ask yourself some cognitive clarity questions like, what is actually happening? What am I assuming? What evidence do I have to support what I am assuming? And what's the story I'm telling? Most of the stuff that's happening, like in Catherine's case with the drive, the event she was worried about wasn't happening in that moment. It's from the past and it's very valid. But she was filling in every twist and turn with, I imagine a car going off a cliff, diving into the water, which if you saw how it was physically impossible for this to happen, but it's still a valid fear because, yeah, you know, it just is. But I think that's just it, is that the event doesn't equal the meaning. So when you have somebody that, you know, let's say you're in good shape and you find, you know, you spend 6 months, you haven't seen a friend in 6 months, you're eating healthy, you're exercising, you're in the best shape of your life, and you go see your friend, and you think they're going to acknowledge how great I look. And they look at you and they just kind of give you like the up and down and like that kind of, they don't say anything. They don't do anything bad. They don't say anything. And you start to go, they think I look silly. Maybe they think I look too thin. Maybe they haven't lost any weight. And you start doing those questions. You need to realize that in that moment, it's all in your head. They haven't said anything. They haven't done anything. You had an expectation that wasn't met. And you have replaced all of those blanks with fear. And when you do that, you're naturally going to speed up. So once you get your body to kind of, you get back in your body and calm down, we want you to just question the validity of your thoughts in this moment.
I really, really like that. I like, is it statistically possible too? I find I use that a lot as the kids were growing up. Like, what is the likelihood that this is actually what I'm worried about? So I love the what evidence do I have and what story am I telling? All of that really, really helps. And, you know, really what we're talking about is managing anxiety and just trying to catch it before it gets worse. So I think mentioning that our brain will fill in the blanks, your brain makes up a story, try to take the things at face value, I think is really helpful.
Yeah, exactly. I think another one that I've tried once in a while, and I'm trying to use it a little bit more, is to just say to that part of my brain that's doing is like, prove it. Give me hard facts that this person does not like your socks. Like, well, they looked at me. No, that's not proof. That's a person's eyeballs looking around. You have no clue if they were actually looking at your feet or if they're looking at their hardwood floor. And because your brain just wants you to be terrified. It's trying to protect you. So it just comes up with anything possible. When you're able to interrupt that brain pattern through the things that we're talking about, it really does help. It really helps you to get back in your body and to just question the validity of your thoughts. You have, was it 30,000 thoughts a day? You have a ton of thoughts. Most of them are just terrible. And most of them are false.
Yeah, it's true. And why does this even matter? Because we always say, you know, feel your feelings and there are no quote unquote negative emotions. They all teach us stuff. They all provide us contrast. But the reason that we are teaching this today and encouraging people to be self-aware, you know, and catch the spirals as they happen is because spiraling can lead you to go back and embody the past self that you are trying to grow from. When you spiral, you tend to like over-explain and over-apologize. You tend to lift boundaries that you've had. You might abandon habits that you have long since been following. And it just kind of gets you back. I almost consider spiraling like putting you back in a childlike state, and you can always bounce back from it and things like that, but when you're in a very vulnerable, anxious state, it can cause you to revert to places that you don't want to go back to. So that's why we're talking about this today.
But I love it. Yeah, it's really, spiraling isn't about the event often. It's just your fear of losing that belonging to the person or event or whatever's going on. And again, with this information, you have a new paradigm around it. And that's the biggest thing. So I think we should talk about anti-spiral habits, things that we can do to kind of protect ourselves long term from the wicked spiral of the West and go from there. So what do you got?
Yeah, I think with anything like this, pausing is good. We teach our coaching clients to pause. You really need 7 seconds to pause for your brain to actually kick in, like the parts of your brain that you want to be in charge, not your instant snap reaction. So that means that instead of sending a very long, angry text to your spouse, you maybe journal about it for a second, or you maybe like write it out in notes and get all your feelings out, and then maybe try to say it a little bit nicer, you know, in the text. Or, you know, when you have the anxiety really bad, you know, it's pulling over your car and doing some box breathing, like taking those seconds, taking time to walk your mind through. We live in such a busy and fast-paced world with all these responsibilities and calls and meetings and kid stuff. It is so hard for someone to even get 7 seconds to let their brain just get with the program. And so we know how hard it is, but giving yourself that space to process and to let off steam if some of the emotions are like an anger spiral is so important so that you don't hurt yourself or others.
Yeah. It's also good to have that one kind of grounded person to do the reality check with. And that can happen when you calm yourself down. I'm an external processor, so the journaling thing works, but not nearly as well as talking it out. And to have that one person you can call and say, I'm kind of in a loop right now. Can you help me? And I just talk for a few minutes and they go, now that you said it out loud, does that seem rational to you? And you're like, no, it really didn't. Thank you, though. I'm so grateful I could just be heard and, you know, kind of get it out. Because when it swirls in your head, it's just not right. But when you can talk it out or write it out, you give this concrete form to it somehow, and it really does change your perception on it. So these habits are really important. But the first one, Catherine's absolutely right. Take that 7 seconds, you know, give that limbic brain 7 seconds and for your prefrontal cortex to log on and go, oh, wait, no, not that, not, no, no, no.
Yeah. I think to sum it up, it's like you can feel those feelings, but you don't have to follow them, believe them, or give in to them.
Exactly. So I think the biggest thing to remember is spiraling when you're growing. It's part of the process at times. It's not a great part, but it just means you're stretching. And when you stretch, you grow. And every thought does not need to have the same weight. Every thought is not the truth. They're just thoughts. You're bound to have them. And when you stop spiraling, you'll gain clarity. And once you have clarity, you'll realize that your growth needs protection. And that's when we want you to keep sticking with the boundaries, keep sticking with the new way you're doing that you decided to long before this spiral happened, that you went on this journey for a reason. And we want you to stay on it because there's a better world for you after it.
I love that. It's a good place to stop. I think we should move on to our ending things. What do you think?
I think so. Okay. So first one is our thrift haul of the week. I've let you go the last couple of times, and I am actually wearing a very new Lululemon top that I got for $7 at the thrift. It looks brand new and I really like it. I was like, wow, this is just really nice. I've been actively just looking for Lululemon stuff the last few times I've gone to the thrift, and I've found over 20 pieces. And I've basically did a whole wardrobe of Lululemon stuff for under 200 Canadian. It's literally insane.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's how much one pair of pants costs, you know, it's like at the store. So we love it. And it looks very nice on you. It's a good color on you. And that's a good one.
Thanks. Sorry for jumping in there, but I've been really excited about my Lulu stuff lately, just because I've never let myself buy a shirt for $100. I can't bring myself to do that. So, what's your glimmer for the week?
You know, my glimmer is that our youngest has a week off of swimming. But I think parents who bring their kids to a lot of sports will get this, that she has this break. But it's been really nice because she and I have gotten some really quality one-on-one time. Like, we've hung out, we watched a TV show. Yesterday we did our nails while her brother was at tennis. And I just feel like, I don't know, I really, the older the kids get, the more I crave the one-on-one time with them. And that's my glimmer for this week. What about you?
My glimmer is I am going to a Jets game tonight with my dad and my son. And they're playing Chicago, which is kind of fun.
Oh,
and
cool.
I'm actually wearing a Chicago jersey tonight because Jonathan Toews used to be the captain of Chicago. And now he's on Winnipeg and he's from Winnipeg. And it's just awesome. So I'm really excited for the night. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Will you boys have fun? And stay out of trouble.
Never a problem with me.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we are going to see you next time. Next time, we're going to keep going with this series on becoming the best version of yourself. And we're going to be covering the boundaries that protect your growth long term. We've been talking about boundaries this episode and last one, and we're going to get into it more next time. We can't wait to see you there.
Bye.
Hey, guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.